Good morning. Welcome to our Easter service. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. That's the response I want you to make. So when I say Christ is risen, if you say he is risen indeed, we'll say together, hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. All together, hallelujah. Praise be to God. This is a day of rejoicing, a day of excitement. We heard to begin with, Jesus Christ is risen today, and that's a day of rejoicing. This is party time. Despite what we're going through, despite what this world is experiencing at this outbreak of this COVID-19, we can give thanks to God for his only son coming into the world, dying on the cross for us a few days ago. We celebrated that fact as why it was a Good Friday. And this morning we can rejoice because he has risen. Death has not kept him captive. He is free. As scripture tells us, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Throughout the service, I will go, Christ is risen. And I want you to say, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So be prepared. It could come at any time. Because we want this day to be joyous, a day of celebration, a day of giving thanks to God for all that he has done for us in the past, in the present, and what he will do for us in the future. Let's not hold back. Let us be free and rejoice, because we know with the angels in heaven, we are rejoicing with the whole of creation of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. It's great to be here this morning under difficult circumstances. But we know that the scripture tells us where two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. And it's true, isn't it? He is there. Wherever we are, God is there. Wherever we go, he has gone before us. We serve a faithful and loving God, a God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we can come and rejoice in that. Chloe is going to share with us this morning our first scripture reading.
Scripture reading today is Psalms 118, verses 14 to 24. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Amen. I will not die but live. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Mm-hmm. The stone the builder rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, the Lord is worthy to be praised and glorified, for he has done much for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for the sacrifice that you made for each one of us. For loving us that much that you would sacrifice yourself upon the cross, enduring pain and suffering for us, that we might be set free, reconnected to the Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us so much that you would do that. That you, Lord Jesus, reign on high. Hallelujah. You reign on high. And you are here. You're with us, regardless of whatever circumstance we go through. The world right now is in a difficult place. It's in turmoil. There's lots of fear going around, but we have an assurance that God is with us, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the victory because he has won the victory for us. And we give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for your great, wonderful, and amazing love. And Lord, we just want to open ourselves to you that your spirit may enter in and guide us. For the salvation that we have in you, Lord, we pray that we will share that with others around, that they too may come into a relationship with you. So, Lord, I just thank you today for this amazing day of celebration. In Jesus' name, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the prayers and for the reading. We are reminded in Scripture time and time again, God's faithfulness throughout the age, from the Old Testament, centuries before the New Testament. God's word was there, God's spirit was there. He created, he gave, he loved. And now in the New Testament, Christ came to do what for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves. And on this day, he demonstrated, he took on the sins of the world and he freed us from it. He paid the price for us. And now he's glorified with the Father in heaven. A dear friend of mine from the United States, he's a children's evangelist and he does amazing things. And he's got a great series now. And with his permission, I want to show you a video he's made for not children, it's all age really, that we can all enjoy and understand about the Easter story. Why Easter? What's it about? So look at the video and enjoy and give thanks to God and do pray for Mel and his family over in the States. They wanted to come over and do a tour as they would normally do of Europe, but they're unable to travel because of the restrictions. Thank you.
You know, boys and girls, I think Sonny was right. Extraordinary love is what Easter is all about. You see, extraordinary means really, really great, above and beyond anything we could ever expect. And that's just the way God's love is, isn't it? God's love is extraordinary. It's far greater than we deserve, far greater than we could ever expect or even hope for. And the story of Easter is the story of God's extraordinary love. But you know, the story of Easter didn't begin at the cross, nor at the empty tomb. The story of God's love began at the beginning of the universe. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible tells us, guys, that God created the entire universe in just 6 days. Everything exists that he created, and nothing exists that God did not create. The Bible tells us that on the sixth day, God created mankind in a very special way. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Bible tells us that God created Adam and Eve in his own image so that mankind could have a beautiful, close, unbroken relationship with God, their creator, like none of his other creatures could have. A relationship in which every day they could enjoy God's love and presence in their lives. They would have the joy of knowing that God, the creator of everything, was their best friend, watching over them, taking care of them, and that he'd take care of them forever in a beautiful place called the Garden of Eden, a place where they could live with God forever. And God said to Adam, "From any one of the trees in this garden you may freely eat, except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that tree you may not eat, because the day you eat from that tree, you will surely die." Well, one day, man made a very sad decision. They decided to listen to themselves, to do what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted them to do. And they ate from the very tree that God told them, "No, you must not eat." Well, this disobedience is what the Bible calls sin, isn't it? And when Adam and Eve chose to sin, the Bible tells us that at that very moment, sin entered the world, separating man from his creator. Mankind had turned their backs on God, and now that beautiful relationship that they once had with God was over. No longer did they understand God or experience his love like they used to. No longer did they have the joy of knowing that they were going to live forever, because just as God had promised, when sin entered the world, along with it came death. You see, now, boys and girls, instead of living forever, Adam and Eve were going to die. Sin and death had entered the world and taken hold of all of mankind. And unless they could find some way out of this terrible trap of sin and death, unless somehow they could be rescued from their sin, they would never find their way back to God. And you know, ever since that day, boys and girls just like you, moms and dads just like me, have continued to turn our backs on God. Every time we tell a lie, every time we disobey, every time we do one of those things we know hurts God's heart and isn't right to do, we see that we too, like children of Adam, are sinful people, separated from God by the cords of our own sin. And because of my sin, I'm separated from God. I can't really understand God or experience His love like He wants me to. Because of my sin, I don't deserve to have a home in heaven, but I deserve to be sent away from God forever to perish in that terrible place called hell. And there's nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do to undo the wrong things I've done. Nothing I can do to get myself back to God. But there is something God could do, and that's why God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Because God loves us so much, He sent His Son Jesus, the pure and sinless Son of God, into this world. And He lived His entire life in perfect obedience to His Father in heaven. Jesus never sinned like we have. And because Jesus is the pure and sinless Son of God, because He lived His whole life and never sinned, only Jesus was able. Only Jesus had the right. Only Jesus had the authority to rescue man from his sin and bring him back to God. But that's something the devil didn't want to happen. He didn't want to see Jesus rescue us from our sin. So when Jesus was 33 years old, He was arrested. He was beaten and whipped and kicked and spit on. And that crown of thorns was pressed into His head. Jesus was nailed to a great wooden cross, and He died. And many people looked at Jesus and thought, He must have done some terrible things. Look how bad He's been punished. But boys and girls, moms and dads, we need to understand, Jesus wasn't being punished for something He did wrong. He's the Son of God. He's holy. He never sinned like we have. He wasn't being punished for something He did wrong. God sent His Son Jesus to be punished for the things you've done wrong and I've done wrong. Jesus died to pay for our sins. The Bible tells us that after Jesus died, His body was taken down from that cross and very carefully laid in a borrowed tomb. The Bible tells us that a great stone was rolled in front of the tomb with the seal of Caesar himself upon it. Soldiers were placed outside the tomb to make sure that no one dared mess with that grave. And at this point, the devil thought he had won the victory. He'd put the Son of God to death. He'd taken man's only hope of being rescued from sin out of the way forever. But on the third day after He died, Jesus proved that He is God's Son by defeating sin and death and rising from the grave. Jesus isn't dead, He's alive. He lives and He reigns in heaven, and by His Spirit, He wants to live right inside of you. And the Bible says that if you will trust your heart to Jesus, to believe that He is God's Son, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and if you're sorry for your sins and willing to put your trust in Jesus, to ask Him to be your Savior and Lord, well, He'll do something no one else can do. He'll come into your life. And all of that sin that once separated you from God, He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. And He will bring you into that beautiful, close relationship that God has always wanted you to have. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? The story of God's extraordinary love and what He has done for us by sending His Son Jesus. And I know that maybe some of you out there are thinking to yourselves, I need Jesus in my life. How do I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to be my Savior, to be my Lord, to take away my sins? Well, in just a moment, I'm going to say a prayer out loud that you can pray to God, or you can make up the words to your own prayer. In this prayer, we'll just simply tell God that we believe in Him, that we want Him to forgive us for our sins, that we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we want Him to be our Savior. So if you're here and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, or you're just not sure, but you want to, I would invite you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I need your help. I know I've sinned and I'm far from God. So right now, I'm giving my life to you. Please come in. Take away all my sins. Make me part of your family and lead me to heaven someday. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life today. I believe in you. And now I belong to you. And I'm going to follow you my whole life long. Amen.
My thanks to Mel for allowing us to use that video, and it is good. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are. God calls us, He gives us gifts. You can see Mel's gift. He uses it to tell us to speak to them, to tell them anything about Christianity. They don't know what Easter's about. To them, it's just holidays. Mel using his God-given skills and abilities to share that message. And we want to continue to give God thanks for all of us that know Him and rejoice this day, why it is such a special day, why it is such a time of thanksgiving. Our hearts should be filled with joy because, sinners though we may be, God loves us so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. We continue to worship at this time by singing "The Greatest Day in History," which is what Easter is. It is the greatest day in history because of what Christ has done for us. So let's come to Him now with thanksgiving, and let's stand and give Him praise. It doesn't matter where we are, what we did, let's just praise Him with all our hearts.
Scripture reading is from John 20, reading from verse 1 to 18. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon and Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who had been behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put Him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," He said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking He was a gardener, she said, "Sir, If you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold onto me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Praise be to God for his word.
Thank you, Golden. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That reading speaks of the surprise and the joy and the bewilderment at first of finding Jesus' body wasn't where they expected it to be. But he has risen. He has risen indeed. It had been a terrifying week for the followers of Jesus, hadn't it? He had entered the temple in triumph, and they all expected that the time had finally come. Jesus was finally going to reveal himself as the victorious Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. All Jesus' followers were primed and ready to begin the revolution, charge. But Jesus had withdrawn and had not followed this through. What a disappointment. As time passes, the disciples and the crowds began to get frustrated and angry, some of them. What kind of Messiah is this? They wondered. By the middle of the week, almost everyone had turned against him. Even Jesus' closest disciples were grumbling, and one Judas had begun to make plans to turn Jesus over to the authorities. Betrayal was in the air, and it was all because Jesus didn't seem to understand what was expected of him. Jesus didn't seem to understand what it meant to the Jewish people, what was expected to be the Messiah. Jesus' refusal to fulfill his expected role was a surprise to his followers, a disappointing surprise to them. But the surprises had only just begun. The disciples all met in secret place for the last time in order to share a meal together. Jesus was then surprised everyone when he washed the feet of the disciples. A act of humility. That is a job for servants and slaves. Jesus then talked about love and service and commitment. Jesus then shared bread and wine, but with a surprising twist. The bread is my body broken for you, he said. The wine is my blood shed for you. The disciples were confused. They didn't understand. This is not what they expected. Then they went out to the garden, and there Jesus had arrived, leading a group of soldiers to arrest Jesus. Now it begins. Finally, the time has come, they thought, when Jesus will reveal himself as a triumphant and victorious Messiah. Peter drew out his sword and attacked. Yes, here we go, he thought. But Jesus rebuked him. Put away your sword, he said. What a surprise that must have been to Peter. What a disappointing surprise. Jesus was arrested, then tried, condemned, and crucified like a common criminal. This is definitely not what was expected, don't you think? That was a horrible surprise. In fear and confusion and terror, the disciples stayed in a secret place in Jerusalem, not knowing what to do. This is it, it's all over. What was the point of all they'd done, all that they'd seen, all that had been shared? They would have been thinking. A day later, the feast of the Passover came to an end. And on that day, the women who had been the followers of Jesus got up early in the morning and went to the tomb where Joseph of Arimathea had been buried. They intended to anoint the burial with oil and spices, as was their custom. But when they arrived, the body of Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Mary ran back to bring the news to the disciples. Peter and John raced to the tomb. Sure enough, he was not there. What a kind of twist is this? What a surprise. Because they didn't know that Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God. The whole week had been one surprise after another. Mary had been there crying. They didn't know what was going on. The whole week had not turned out as expected at all. Jesus had gone from being a hero at one end of the week to nothing. And now he disappeared altogether. You see, he had refused to act like a Messiah was supposed to act. Jesus was Son of God. But the Son of God was crucified as a common criminal. And now Jesus' body was supposed to be in the tomb, but it was missing. You see, we serve a God of surprises. We see the God that does what he will. God's will be done. That should be the prayer. That should resonate into our hearts. Not what we want, not what we expect, but what God wills. And now Jesus' body was supposed to be in the tomb, but it was missing. Expectations and surprises were all over in abundance. This is what the Easter story is all about. Our expectations and God's surprises. We all have lots of expectations of how the world is supposed to work, don't we? And we take these expectations into all of our relationships, including our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We have developed expectations of how we think God is supposed to act. We assume that God is always on our side and that our priorities are God's priorities. We try to fit God into our box, and we try to manipulate God for our own ends, our own desires. There are so many voices in our society that like to claim they know the mind of God, as if God, who created the universe, needed defending or needed us to speak. He can speak. God uses people. God uses situations to show his will. This is God's position on this, or this is God's position on that, they say. God acts like this. If you don't do this, or act like this, or think like this, then God won't love you. People can be so manipulative. But our God can't be manipulated, because he is holy, he is pure, and he is love that surpasses all our human understanding. We're all guilty of reducing God to our own expectations. Perhaps you don't want to admit that we see a God, he's a God of surprises. Perhaps it's too threatening that it makes us feel too insecure and uncertain at times. The Old Testament is filled with surprises. God simply refuses to act in the way the Israelites think that God is supposed to act. But Jesus is God's ultimate surprise. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. John tells us that in the first chapter of his gospel. God became flesh through his Son, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. God moves in us and lives amongst us. What a surprise that is. Do you mean to say that God is not off in distance, watching us, just gazing down on us from the heavenly realms? That's not what God is. God is not found way off. God is right here with us, in our midst, through his Son, Jesus Christ. He enters into all human experiences. We don't serve a distant God up there somewhere. We see a God that lives within us through his Spirit, through his love, and through his Son, Jesus Christ, light of the world. That's why we can rejoice. That's why we can celebrate. That's why we can give him thanks. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Getting back to our story. We left Mary weeping outside the tomb. Someone moves in beside her and she starts going on about how she expected to find the body. And don't you know what's happened? My master's body is gone. What are we going to do? This is not good. What's going to happen now? The person that appears says to her gently, it's Jesus. She didn't know. Imagine the surprise. Imagine how she felt. From sorrow, bitter regret, and confusion, and angst, and all these emotions that she went through. Now she has experienced joy. She saw him die on the cross, that's it. But now he has risen. He has risen indeed. And Mary shares and experiences him. What about us? Life does not always proceed the way we expect it does. Life is full of missed opportunities. Sometimes the grind and monotony of work, failed relationships, addictions of whatever nature can mean that our life doesn't feel meaningful, doesn't know what's the point. But Christ came into the world for us, not to be distant, but to be close to us, to be part of us, to fill us with his spirit. And he ascended to heaven a short time after coming out of that tomb. And he's promised to come again, and he will. So we can rejoice that he has risen, and that our God is a God of surprises. None of us know the time or hour when he will return. But we can be thankful. We have that blessed assurance that he will. So we can rejoice in the resurrection power. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, conquered death and has prepared a way for each and every one of us. I want to pray now. And to anyone that's wavering, anyone that's not sure about what they believe, they're not sure about their relationship with God, I want to pray for you right now. Because, God wants us this day to be a resurrection day for each and every one of us, to be renewed, to be restored, to be filled with his love and blessing, to be nourished in his spirit, and to be immersed in his love. Father, I just give you thanks for this time. This is today a day of rejoicing, a day of blessing, a day of you demonstrating your power and your love. You're a God that's unpredictable. You don't follow the ways of human beings. You're not interested in our whims and fancies. You know the desires of our heart, but Father, you also know what we need better than we know ourselves, because you know each and every one of us. Nothing is hidden from you. And for that, we give you thanks. And Father, you are our Heavenly Father, and you know what we need, and you will provide for us. You are a God that will provide. And at Easter, you provided for us that sacrifice, that sin offering. Your only Son came into the world. That well-known scripture passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we just pray that. We just pray. We just rejoice in that. We just praise you for that. And we just ask, Father, that you will continue to move in us. Anyone that doesn't know what Easter's really about, I just pray you will open up their hearts, Father, to know you. Because you are there for everyone. And through your Son, his Spirit, we can all know you. We can be, we're part of your family. You created us to know you, to love you, and to be in a relationship with you. So many people go into other things with zeal and passion, but their lives are still empty, Father. They are searching, but they don't know what they are looking for. I just pray that you will open their hearts to receive you, Father. Sometimes it can take a long while before they turn to you, but Father, you can do that. So I just ask that you will just pour out your blessing, pour out your Spirit on each and every one of us. I pray this in your precious name. And now we're moving to a time of intercession, a time when we ask our Heavenly Father to intercede in the lives of those who perhaps can't do it for whatever reason themselves. And at this time now, as we are battling with this COVID-19, this coronavirus, I just pray for all those in the essential services, the NHS staff that are working tirelessly to combat this disease, this virus. Father, I just pray for those that are grieving at this time because they've lost someone because of this virus, or they've lost someone because of some illness. Those that are grieving at a time like this, on a day like this, when we are rejoicing because of the resurrection, because Christ conquered death, they are mourning the loss of someone near and dear to them, or are fearful for someone who's in hospital at this time. Father, may you be with them. May they feel your presence powerfully. You're a God with no limitations. There's nothing that you cannot do. There's nowhere that you cannot be. There's no one that you cannot approach and want to approach. So I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll minister to us all right now, Father. May we all feel your presence powerfully. In the name of your Son, I pray this. Father, I do pray for our Prime Minister who's been affected by the coronavirus and is in the hospital. I pray you will pour out your healing spirit on him. Because this is not about politics, he is our leader. You know, you've allowed him to lead this nation, Father, whether folks like it or not. So I just pray that your anointing, your blessing will be on him. And I pray for his family who are worrying and can't because of this virus, even be at his bedside. So I just pray he has a speedy recovery. Father, you are a God of restoration. And I just pray that you will revive us all. Because the prayer of my heart, the cry of my heart, Father, is for a revival. Not just a revival, not just for this nation, but for the whole world will turn to you. Humble themselves to you, and you will renew it. You will make all things new, like Christ did for us in the cross. Our debts are paid. I've been paid. We are free in you because of your love. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Cleanse this land. Heal and restore those. Raise up the brokenhearted. Break the shackles of addiction for those that are struggling to overcome their vices. Bring down strongholds, Father, so that we're all free to come to you and lovingly know you. You call us into an intimate relationship, and this is what we want, Father. God of surprises, move amongst us in unexpected ways. Mold us, Father, shape us. Allow us to be all that you have created us to be. And we pray against the evil one. Anything that hinders us, Father, I just pray, release it. We have the victory through Christ. Because Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to continue to praise our God and draw this service to a close by singing our final hymn, Resurrection Song, by the Wren Collective. And as you sing that, or you may just want to listen to it, just pray for family and friends that you can't see, those that you want to be with now, that you can't be with. You're relying on phone calls. They could be, you know, nearby, yet you can see them so far away. God knows our hearts. He knows our desires. And he is there with them as well. You know, we may not even be able to speak to them, but our God is present with them. So give thanks to him for that as we sing the resurrection song. God bless, and I'll see you next week.